Good morning, everybody. Today is Thursday, January 24th, 2019. It's 9 o'clock a.m. We're in the County Administration Workshop in the Border County Commissioner Conference Room. First up on our agenda is Department Business. Item 1A is Juvenile Justice, with Jim Goodwin joining us. With the renewal of State of Oregon IGA number 157704 between Oregon Health Authority and Josephine County Juvenile Justice to provide BRS services to local youth in the Turning Point Residential Program.
Good morning.
Good morning, sir.
I apologize for the redundancy on this. Sometimes the state does things a little differently. We had just gotten this IGA through, I think, in November. Almost always they run for a biennium, so we were thinking we'd be good until June 30th. For whatever reason, this one ended December 31st, and this current one will go through December 31st of 2020.
They just did a term thing.
Yes.
Yeah, they just was just for that term, and then they review
Correct.
It again. I guess it makes sense.
Finish the year, but just about everything else we do on the state cycle is related to the biennium, so this one's a little bit different. But the quick history for Commissioner Fowler, this allows us to bill the Oregon Health Authority for local Josephine County youth who are not connected to the Oregon Youth Authority or Department of Human Services.
What does BRS stand for?
Behavioral Rehabilitative Services,
okay.
Which are the services we provide in our residential treatment center. Okay. So it allows us to recoup about 80% of the cost that we would ordinarily get from the state. If the youth is not involved with those two other agencies, we can still bill for about 80% of the rate. This allows us to do that.
Essentially, the program is almost paying for itself between the three.
Correct.
Nice.
Just housekeeping is what it says.
It is. It's an extension. It's been budgeted. It's previously existing, so it can go forward to consent calendar with your blessing.
Yeah, I'd say move to consent.
Okay.
I'm okay with that.
With your indulgence, I'd like to go out of order in the calendar and skip to item 1C, which is a request for a job description addition in juvenile justice, if that's okay with you, Scott. And so, JJ will join us.
Good morning, Commissioners. So this is a pretty simple simple process. Director Goodwin is looking at the structure of his department, and he would like to reclassify one of his existing positions to a group life counselor 3, and the added duties would be to oversee some training and program development. It's pretty common within those agencies to have some sort of compensation for that added level of responsibility, and so putting it as a separate job description is an easy way to accommodate that. It would be very nominal cost. It would be a 5% more than the current wages for the current employee, so it's well within budget.
Okay.
Essentially, they have more responsibilities than the others, so giving them that officially in their job duties,
yeah,
and compensating them for that they're going to have their tails worked off.
Yeah.
Similar to like a field training officer in corrections or law enforcement.
Mm-hmm. So we're creating a new position?
No.
We were just
redefining one.
Yes, this would be, we would open this internally, and our group life counselor 2s could apply for it. But it's not creating any FTE. It's giving officially those 2 pretty good responsibilities to one of the staff.
But if the counselor 2 got the job to counselor 3, do you have to hire another counselor 2?
No.
Okay.
No. They're within the staffing pattern. They just get to do these extra things in addition to their normal duties.
Once it gets settled into pulling a 1,000-pound wagon, you put another 200-pound on, they probably won't
exactly
even notice
right.
It.
Right.
So we could actually entertain a motion to approve the job description addition for the group life counselor 3, if you guys so choose.
So moved.
And seconded.
So we have a motion and a second. Any further discussion?
Nope.
No, ma'am.
All right. And I should say that this was ran through me versus liaison, so it wasn't
vote?
A surprise today.
Should we vote?
Yes. Well, we're still having discussion. All those in favor say aye.
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 Aye. Motion carries 3-0. Thank you.
Great. Thank you, Commissioner.
You bet.
In community development director position, is that not going today too?
Oh, I can talk about that now.
Mm-hmm. You're at the table, might as well get it done pretty quick.
Okay.
So I just want to talk a little bit about the future plan for the position. I was a little concerned that we may not be setting up our interim person for success. So basically what we have, what we're doing is we're taking one FTE away from the department in the current director, Julie, and then our interim, Mark, is doing his current job plus Julie's job. And we're just kind of look to see how it goes over the next 3 to 6 months.
Well, no, in that 6 months, he is going to be working directly with Commissioner Fowler to see what other recommendations. So if it means they have to hire a different inspector, we're evaluating economic development.
Sure.
So if that's a position that comes into our office in the meantime, it's kind of assigned to Julie still. So that portion, but it still all falls under the purview of the director. It's a matter of getting a plan in place over the 3 to 6 months, evaluating where it's at 3 months to see how's this working kind of thing. But the intent was that they work with Commissioner Fowler very quickly to make some recommendations of what else would be needed in the department.
Yeah. So my thoughts, so there was really three options that the board can take. And one of them is you're the interim director and you have the authority, you know, working through your liaison to backfill that one FTE to see what works best for the department. And that's kind of what you discussed, and that's a completely viable option. The challenge of that is if the decision is, well, we want to actually fill the director position with a new person, if that's the decision, and we've already hired to backfill, when we fill the director position, if that is the decision in 3 to 6 months, well, now you have an extra FTE that's not in the budget. So that's a challenge of that
or
structure.
Or they get bumped
because
they're in their first probationary period, and that's part of the hiring process.
Absolutely. Yeah. This person's been here. We're not going to get rid of our billing official because we backfilled if that's the decision. The new person would be the one to go. So that's a potential consequence of that that decision. Now, it could be that the decision is, this is working really great, and we would like to promote to full director, and there is no bumping. There is no, so that might work out fine. Another option is to recruit and fill, and the current interim would be one of the applicants, so that's an option. And a third option is to say, well, we want a director now, and we would have to post it internally in order to facilitate veterans' preference, because there may be an internal candidate who is a veteran who has a legal right to apply. But you appoint a director now and then give that person the authority to, work with their liaison to restructure however is best for the department. So as it relates to, moving forward, what is going to work, those are kind of the three options. What I didn't want to see was, the interim director kind of left in limbo without backfilling and having to do two jobs for 3, 4, 5 months, and then either can't do two jobs and isn't successful, or can do it and works his tail off and works 60, 70 hours a week and burns himself out. And so I didn't want to see either of those happen.
Right, which I think is more the director's decision than yours.
It is, 100%.
And so we kind of want to see how it goes so far, because we don't know how much Julie will be able to share in the future. That's part of this waiting 3 months and 6 months to see what that falls out as, because she's still talking about perhaps splitting her time even in the future after 6 months, not knowing how it's going to work out. And so this is a learning curve for me. I don't fully understand the scope of your position, but I know that recommending to us those options is what I'd like to see, and not see it your opinion get in there. Let us and let the director make that decision about how the workload shakes out. But I appreciate the warning.
Okay, like I said, and it's 100% the purvey of the board to do whatever the board likes.
Well, I think I see where you're going. You just want to make sure that there is something board approved in place so that if we do see at month three that we already have a plan in place and we are in a position that we can backfill and go from there.
We kind of discussed that last week, though. We were told the option of recruiting right now. And
I'm not interested in recruiting until we see how this thing shakes out. Because we see exactly what our needs are. And that's with Darren working with Mark, and then they come up with something. Yeah, let me get in those 2 months and say, well, this is what we really need. Instead of saying, we tell them what they need right now, and we're not working in that deal. We know we're supposed to know everything about it, but we don't. But I think what you're suggesting is just that there is a plan in place if it doesn't work, I guess?
Well,
or do we even need to go there now?
Yeah, I don't think we have to yet.
I don't think we need to yet. I think that what we had said is that Mark put him in the place right now, and all the authority, all the position under him. However, some of those duties will be delegated to Julie, and the three of them working, or three being with Commissioner Fowler, working together to say, okay, how's this going to work?
Yeah, is it working?
Is it working? What needs to be done?
What do we need
a different position? So allow them to kind of evaluate it, because part of what we're also looking at is, do we pull economic development out of the department? Mm-hmm. And that's something we're strongly looking at.
Yeah.
And so it, but we didn't want to change the job description yet until we kind of came up with a plan.
It's very premature to do any job description stuff at this point.
And so it was one of those things that we said, okay, it'll still stay under his title, but Julie would be doing the duties, and the three of them working together to come up with a recommendation, and sooner than later was that thought, that they evaluate pretty quickly, because then we're also kind of at the three-month mark are looking at, okay, does anything need to change? Do we need to kind of take a different course?
And then we'll be heading into the building season as well.
Yeah.
Well, the workload will increase.
But it's been, has it even been a week?
Yeah, no, two maybe.
Well, I think it was last Tuesday. So, I mean, we're a week and 2 days since we talked about it and with everybody here. So I think we got to allow enough time to say, I don't see it as setting them up to fail, because our intention is to evaluate along the way and to discuss what the needs be and not wait for the six-month mark and say, well, gosh, you sure blew that. Why didn't you come to us sooner? The expectation is to not leave them high and dry, to work alongside until then, and to allow something to be developed as needed. So us also understanding that's the process, keeping in mind how we evaluate his work of, he's doing two people's jobs and what are the needs. So, but we have to give them at least enough time to look at the department with the title of interim director, with the new commissioner liaison, and say, okay, what do I really need? Do I need to hire another building official? Especially with they're doing that training certification program that they're trying to get more inspectors out there and do that practicum training. So I wouldn't mind getting an update in a couple weeks and kind of seeing where you guys are at, but I don't know that we need to do anything yet.
Sounds good.
Excellent. And I am meeting with Julie later today to kind of talk about what her role is going to be and how she sees it and what'll work as far as contractually how we're going to make that work. So
all right. I don't think she's officially quit yet, so we will have to figure that out.
Yeah.
We will. Yeah. Right, I think they were going to define her duties over there as well.
Okay.
So
thank you.
Thank you, JJ.
Thank you.
Okay, so we have item 1B, Transit, 2019-21 Discretionary Funding, STF 5311 and 5310, with Mr. Scott Chansey in the house.
Good morning.
Good morning.
How are you today, sir?
Good, how are you?
Good.
Welcome.
Thank you.
Every 2 years, the state distributes by formula state funds as well as federal funds from the FTA to each jurisdiction, and that we get to decide how those funds get spent. So the first of all, I'd like to point out that the ODOT STF, which is the Special Transportation Fund, those are funds dedicated to transit at their source, but some of those funds come from the general fund. The governor did not put the general fund allocation into the STF.
Would that cut it? Substantially?
At 40%.
So, substantially.
Yeah, substantially. So they, direction of ODOT said, go ahead and allocate those funds based on the full formula amount, and there's basically just going to be a fight because the transportation or the transit tax, payroll tax, those monies were not supposed to be supplanted, or they were not supposed to supplant existing funding sources.
Yet they're doing that because they're the government.
Right, yet they just did it. So there's a lot of fighting that's probably going to happen. So with that said, we went ahead, this Special Transportation Advisory Committee reviewed, put out a public notice, reviewed applications, and are banking on the entire SDF allocation.
So all these plans that we were making of expanding our stuff goes away because they turned around and said, oh, you have this new tax, let's take the money we were giving you and put it somewhere else?
It's going to be about $163,000 less every 2 years if this actually happens. So okay. With that said, I'm still okay with it. We still have the money to do the expansion plans that we had anticipated. That's just this money might be gone. We're just not sure yet. So I haven't got into the fight yet, but there's several other agencies that have basically said, you know, in this, the stiff dollars, when that was in the administrative rules that came out governing that, it specifically states that you're not supposed to use this special tax to supplant existing funding. So I don't know where this is going to end up, but we'll see what happens. So anyway, the Special Transportation Advisory Committee on January 8th reviewed all the applications, and this is what they came up with and are making recommendations to the Board of County Commissioners to forward these on to the state. So the first ones were the STF dollars. The majority of that goes to Josephine County. We use it for local match because we can. We use it for local match on our federal funds. The other application that came in was an application from UCAN for their Senior Companion Program. The Senior Companion Program is basically reimbursement for mileage, and it's mileage not to the senior's house, but if the companion goes to the senior's house and transports them somewhere else, that's the mileage reimbursement. So it's a small amount. The other applications were the City of Grants Pass. They purchased service from us, and the City of Grants Pass pays the local match. So there was that. Options of Southern Oregon put in an application to purchase to replace three existing vehicles out of their fleet. They use their fleet to transport their own clients, so it's not general public, but it's their own clients that they use those vehicles to transport people. The other part is they put in an application for preventive maintenance for those vehicles. And then the last one was Josephine County. We asked for $5,310 for basically preventive maintenance as well. Small amount, doesn't cover our entire preventive maintenance budget, but every little bit counts.
With the electric vehicles, the maintenance is less though, right?
Should be less.
You're not changing oil or anything like that.
No, we anticipate it to be less. What it ends up being, we're not sure
yet. We don't know yet.
No. The other two allocations are 5310, which is a federal program for small urban. Because the county operates within the urbanized area of Grants Pass, essentially, we get an allocation for that, and then we also get the other 5310 because we operate outside, essentially countywide. The other program is the 5311, which is rural transportation funding for general public transit, and we're the only ones that provide that service. So the entire amount was allocated to specifically to Josephine County. So what I'm looking for is just a thumbs up from the county commissioners to forward these applications as recommended by the staff to the state. These funds will be in the 2019 budget. So
could we just reverse it instead of the minus $163,000, put a plus there and add to each of those funds and see what they do?
I could try it. I don't know what they're going to do about it. So
it's so disappointing. So this happened to us on the marijuana tax dollars, where the state collects the taxes and they're supposed to be dispersed by a portion. 15% was supposed to go to Oregon State Police to increase services. They gave 15% to Oregon State Police from the marijuana dollars, but on the back end took 15% from a different source, so there was no increase for enforcement. And this big tax thing last year that AOC supported wholeheartedly and went after to increase our services, it's just a shuffle game. And the governor's budget is $16 billion more this year than last biennium. And
They're going to get it.
Yeah.
And they just, you know, it's not...
I'm sorry, but it's frustrating. But I don't want to approve the reduction. Let's just say no. Stick to your rules. And
so I totally understand. We're not going to approve the reduction, so we're go ahead and budgeting the full amount. What will happen is if the actual reduction does happen, the STF portion for Josephine County will be reduced by $80,000 a year. I'm not super happy about that, but with that said, we're seeing an influx of $752,000 in the payroll tax. So, granted, they're going against their own rules, which I don't think is fair, but it is what it is.
Well, they don't make a habit of it. But they will.
Yeah.
If they find that get funded, they're like, ooh, let's do that again.
Yes, they have.
Are other transit districts getting the same mm-hmm. message?
Yeah, everyone across the board has basically stated, expect there's the possibility you could lose 40% of your STF or special.
What does that mean in like Multnomah County? That's got to be huge. I'm saying
it's huge.
Golly.
It's huge. It's millions of dollars. So here we're looking at $163,000 over a 2-year period. Up there, you're talking millions of dollars.
They'll probably find another bucket for Multnomah.
Sure.
Yeah. I'm sure they will.
Yeah.
Homeless. They could put a homeless tax up there.
Yeah,
transient taxes.
Yeah, real transient.
That's
taxes.
Right.
Homeless tax. We're going to charge her.
But I don't see any reason not to.
No, Scott.
I don't see a choice. And it sounds to me like you're just dealing with what the cards you're dealt, and that's all you can do at this point in time. You can say
there's
no.
There's no recourse.
Yeah,
And you know, be on record as saying no, we don't agree with that because of what you stated.
Yeah,
because you're not following the rules. So fundamentally, we don't agree with it, but you can do it anyway.
I let all the other applicants know, which would be UCAN, City France Pass, mm-hmm. Options of Southern Oregon, that ultimately, you know, we will take, Josephine County will take the brunt of this reduction of funding, but I can't keep doing it.
No.
So if all of a sudden the state comes back in 2 years and they cut it again or say something.
Then we'll need to make a change.
Right, we will have to make a change in these allocations to some of these other agencies. We'll probably have to
We're hoping that this is a one-shot deal, but I bet it isn't. Once it starts, blood in the water, that's it. Boy, they go for it.
Right.
What kind of percentage hit to your overall budget is that?
It's about 1 point. It's about what, 10, less than 10%.
It's still significant.
We were talking about some expansion stuff.
It's way less than 10% because I didn't add in the new stiff dollars, so we're probably talking 2-3%.
Oh, okay.
In all reality, it might get made up by the actual return from the payroll tax, because every 3 months they keep increasing the amount that they're projecting we're going to get. But still, I don't like the fact that the governor is going against the administrative rules behind the funding source itself.
He's changing it at the core.
As a group, do you guys testify between? I mean, because the governor makes her proposed budget mm-hmm. and where the cuts are, and now it's the battle before the legislature, Ways and Means, to see where it actually gets laid out. So do you guys go up and testify? Do you?
I personally don't. We aren't part of the lobbying arm of the Oregon Transit Association. I'm not a paying member. Mm-hmm. They do take our input, but I think you're going to see a legal fight is what's going to happen. And so the OTA definitely will be testifying in front of the Ways and Means Committee. But I think you're going to see this one end up in court.
Fun.
So,
will you do us a favor and maybe make sure Wally's up to date just in case it's something we have to do?
Yes. Yeah. I think, obviously, the way that the OTA works is if there is a legal fight, they're going to, every transit agency or jurisdiction in the state's going to join.
Sure.
And the OTA will probably take it on. So, we'll see. Obviously, they're going through the budget now. We'll see what happens.
Yeah.
But I'll definitely let them know as well.
So it could move on to admin, but I'm wondering, is it a new contract or is it just an extension of the contract?
They're technically new contracts. We get them every 2 years.
Okay.
So
since it's new, we have to go to admin, even mm-hmm. though it's budgeted. All right.
Yeah, it won't be budgeted until this coming budget cycle.
Got it. No worries.
So,
okay.
Admin?
Sure.
date is that? That's next Wednesday.
30th.
Are they required to sign this, or this is just the application?
This is just the application.
Right. Oh, so the actual contracts will come back.
We don't even have to have it at weekly business right now.
Right.
Okay.
I
wouldn't
think so.
No.
Yeah. So yeah, the county commissioners sign the actual contract when it comes through.
Good
this
call.
Is just a recommendation to the state for these what the county wants to do.
Okay. Yeah, it's not the contract right now.
Let's hold off.
Okay.
Move to hold off.
Well, can you rescind that?
Yes.
Thank you. Because he still needs to send his application in. So if you move to hold off, then he can't send his application in.
Well, got it.
So, but we don't need it on a weekly business session, so you're good to go.
Good. Perfect.
Sounds good.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks, Scott. All right, next up on our agenda, item two is finance report and business update. And we have Mr. Arthur O'Hare.
Thank you.
Arthur O'Hare, Finance Director. So a couple things for update purposes. So Tuesday is where you folks have your normal, or now have your departmental updates. So I'm asking and suggesting maybe Tuesday I will start with this budget presentations to the board on pieces of the budget, and I'm thinking for Tuesday general fund. If that fits in with your schedule, I mean, I could set it up for a Monday or some other odd time, but I was thinking since you folks already have departmental updates, right, that's what I was saying. But and that's why I'm saying maybe since you already have a meeting for departmental updates, I could take a 5-10 minute chunk and use that to present for. Over the next several weeks to present various aspects of our fund structure and our budgets. So if that works for everybody, that way I incorporate it with an existing time frame rather than create a new one. And like I said, my presentations, the way I was envisioning them is, you know, a 5-10 minute piece, and then whatever questions you might have on those, and then we can than the following. And here's the other question. Do you want it weekly, or do you want me to do like a Tuesday and a Thursday?
Depends on how much stuff we're getting through. The idea was that we have regular conversations to get us mm-hmm. all on the same page. On the budget.
Well, I've got several pieces. I mean, the general fund would be one piece. Patrol, you know, the law enforcement fund would be another piece. And then the jail fund would be a third, and
so
probably
how many
the
pieces
reserve.
All together, though?
Right. Depending on how much we want to go, I've got a half a dozen, eight. You know, like the reserve funds, I could get all of them in there, but, you know, we might have property reserve versus equipment reserve. So, six to eight presentations is what I was thinking. The internal service funds, we want to go over.
Well, 1 week is 2 months.
Right.
Which
right.
is plenty of time before the...
Right. Before the budget itself, yeah. Before the May budgets, yeah. And then the theoretically, the departments will work with the liaisons probably during the month of March to...
Oh, yeah. To, saw that in your...
Yeah. To talk with each liaison about their particular budget, so...
I had envisioned it going much quicker and being done.
Well, I can do it every Tuesday, Thursday.
I don't know. I mean, the idea was we're going to have decisions coming up. We're going to be talking about where we're headed. We're going to be talking with our departments. If we're two months out before we're even talking about what do we plan for, what are we envisioning, I mean, obviously we got
to
just...
be an advantage to get it done before March then. Yeah, before we start talking.
Yeah, I could do one every... You know, Tuesday, Thursday.
This Tuesday is odd. It's a KJO Tuesday.
Oh, okay. But well, I can do it, start next Thursday then. And just kind of try to schedule.
Even if we miss one, we'd still get it done.
Yeah.
It's probably better.
Yeah. I'm thinking just kind of...
I mean, you guys can have the general discussion. I just also have a... I can miss a phone call on a Tuesday, but we'd have the 11 o'clock hour, and there's nothing else on it on Tuesday, so we could do it.
Sounds good.
So, yes.
What do you think, Dan? What was your visioning for it?
What's up?
What was your thoughts on the budget stuff?
Well, let's just get it done. The budget's just a pain in the neck every year, and that's all it is. Yeah, it is. I mean, we've got a schedule. Let's just get on it and get it over with.
Well, and so much of the budget is like transit's budget. I mean, it is what it is. Funding is where it is, yeah. And the board doesn't have too much discretion, probably other than a yes or a no, kind of a.
Right.
So, and there's so much of our budget in that same boat where it's just you got the contract, you got the grant, you either have it or you don't. Right.
If you don't have the money, you don't.
But that's where I wanted to focus in on then, the general fund where the board does have discretion of where to allocate the dollars, the internal service funds where you have discretion, the property reserve funds, and even the law enforcement fund and the jail fund, levy fund to a certain extent, because you've got the juvenile detention versus the
Well, we've had a lot of changes. We had a lot of changes in 17 and 18, and I think now that's where they're going to pop up. Mm-hmm. So those, I would like you to highlight the ones that had changes.
Right.
The ones that stayed the same, big deal. Within reason. Right. But we've got just a lot of things went on.
Yeah.
In the ISF, we changed the ISF.
Right.
In 17, and mm-hmm. guess what? How's that shaking out now? What is that meaning to all of our departments?
Perfect. Okay. That sounds great. Well, I'll work with staff to get scheduled for the Tuesday, Thursday, and then if something doesn't work, we'll just
we'll miss one. Yeah.
And the length of your presentation is going to depend on us, any questions we have.
Right.
So be as thorough as you can.
I'm trying to keep it pretty short. Yeah, trying to keep it pretty short. Like I said, 5 to 10 minutes of a presentation, and of course, time for questions.
Okay, all right. Is that okay, yeah. Chairman?
I have another question, though. Those fund balances, do you have a policy of carryover for each of those or for all of them?
Right. That, as a formal fund balance policy, the answer is no. As something that I'm supposed to have done over the last couple of years, the answer is yes. I should have had a formal fund balance policy finished informally. I've worked with the major funds like Brandis for the public works funds.
Yeah.
Oh, they do have carryover. Yeah.
Sure.
But as far as
a policy,
the city, we had between 30% and 40% as a policy,
which is best practice. Yeah. I think we're a little more specific for us. We look at the general fund in a different way. We don't say just what is general fund and 1 or 2 months reserve. We really say general fund is our fund of last resort for all of our programs, and they're talking fairgrounds, parks, any program that ends up in trouble, airports. General fund is our fund of last resort. So should we just keep it to that 10-20%, or do we really need to look at the entirety of the county's budget and say it really should be, 10-20% of the entire county? So I think there's some specific issues that we need to deal with and that we've informally have dealt with that I need to formalize.
Okay.
Yeah. I don't think we were in a position to formalize
carryovers.
Given the history of the county, there was no carryover.
We're kind of ramping up out of that.
We probably might be a good idea to have a policy. That at least you have a target.
Yeah, best practices. Sure. I've got the data that I need. I just have to put it into a formal. But you're right. We were in survival mode. But I think we're at a place now where we can look forward and we can do some planning, do some goal settings, do some forward thinking.
And I would like to have those, best practices in place. Mm-hmm. Instead of saying all of a sudden you go, I've got a heck of a carrier. Well, we don't care what you do with that. We need a policy.
Yeah, I agree.
Suggestion from the board of what the board would like to see that look like.
And that's how it would be developed. I'll put something on paper, let the board see it, probably go to the department directors at some point for their input.
And then,
Okay.
Okay, good. I'll work on that. reminder that this coming weekly business session, we will have the auditor next Wednesday present on the June 30, 2018 financial statements and also the jail levy. So we'll give a presentation at the weekly business session. Just as a question to the board, should we pursue? I think I was talking with the public health director, Mike Weber, about the grant writer, and you brought this up last week, so I talked with Mike about that. And we have an option of either looking at hiring a position, creating a position for a grant writer within public health. They'll do a lot of the work, but I think they'll be available for other departments. Or we can continue to look at maybe a contractual arrangement, which I'm not sure who we would get at that point. Mike is, and I don't know if he's talked to anybody at the board.
We were supposed to get a report on what was done.
So he's putting that together then.
Okay. I will follow up and make sure.
Okay.
I've got a pick along that line, if I might, Madam Chairman.
Of course, sir.
We have a not official, but we have a grant writer for the fairgrounds. And is she submitting invoices and you pay invoices, or how's that working?
As far as I know at this point in time, she's free.
She hasn't.
She has never.
They've all done that through
invoice.
The fair. It hasn't been through us, hasn't been asked. It's just been done.
Okay, all right. I didn't know if anything ever came through because there was
a chunk of gold.
I've heard noise and talk, but I haven't heard any solid proposal.
I haven't seen anything.
So I think I don't expect that person to continue doing that for the love of the fair.
Right.
And that's why we discussed if we have one countywide that would help the fair, would help airports.
Right.
Because right now this is an issue with airports, too, because he was justifying taking a staff position, trying to give it more because she's doing grant writing, but they're refusing to use the grant writer we had contracted. So do we really want every department to have their own grant writer, or do we have a central countywide one?
That's why I'm asking, because the grant writer, the person writing grants for the fairgrounds, you can take a generic person that is a quote-unquote grant writer, and they will have no idea what they're writing a grant for. It's just work.
Right. Yeah.
And the same thing with airports. Those are specific grants,
They are specific grants, but an experienced grant writer knows how to do those grants and gets the details from the department to fill in those specialty stuff.
Right.
They work with the department head, but a good grant writer can do any grant. They just learn to follow the instructions and get those details to plug in, and they keep track of what's required in the follow-up.
And you know, therein lies some of the resistance from the department heads saying, well, I have to put in, you know, I do most of the work anyway. But that's just for the initial. I mean, once you get past the initial of what does the fairgrounds do, what's the scope of their work, how do they operate internally, once you get past that initial grant or two, you've got all the boilerplate, so you shouldn't have to work or take the department director's time, you know, much of it to continue with each individual grant. So I think there's some benefit there. A grant writer, our current one, is also, not only are they, the pay was around $60 an hour, but they also had, I think, 1.5% of whatever grant
whatever they get
came back in.
Versus hiring someone inside, you could have
get them cheap.
Well, not cheap. A good grant writer is worth their weight in gold.
Yeah, they should pay their way.
If I might. The way things are anymore, it used to be you went and just petitioned for money from state budgets and federal budgets. Everything's done on a grant process now. It's not just allocated. You have to apply for it.
Yeah.
And so I think that's the difference from in the old days versus the new days. The old days, you just went and talked to somebody, your congressman, and they got you the money, and they wrote you a check, and away you went.
Bridge to nowhere
But the grant actually specifies what you're going to use it for, and then also provide that contract for what you're going to use the money for. It's a better way of doing it.
And does that grant writer also track the grants and make sure we satisfy all the requirements of the grant and close them out at the end?
It depends on how much work is involved in each grant.
Yeah.
There was a JAG grant that Community Corrections got that turned into four people having to meet weekly for 2 years. I mean, it was insane what was required, but it funded drug court.
Right.
And it was, I mean, this massive thing where Community Corrections was providing the staff person to do all the reports, but the courts had, each grant is different and unique.
Right.
But that's the whole point of having a specialist do it, is they know what to look for of the follow-up, of what reports are required to be turned back in for compliance.
And they can bump the department.
What are the time frame? And they can keep track of all that of keeping,
And or the grant account. I've seen it where there are those two separations there. You have the grant writer who's getting the money, but then you have the grant accountant who's tracking it and ensuring that the reports are accurately and timely filed.
Which you
there's
have.
A pro, yeah, the, with Dave, but there's a program element too, because typically a grant says, are you servicing the clients that we, you know, are you meeting the numbers and the program metrics, whatever they may be. So that's a little bit outside of an accountant, and that's the actual program director and the program staff who are receiving the grant. So like in corrections or in fairgrounds, there might be reporting requirements that Tamara or Cynthia or somebody might need to, you know, keep track of those program elements. But it's all doable, and it's all, you know, funding that's there. I think just as a good illustration, when the board provided money for the arena, you know, the Rotary Club jumped on board, and when Rotary came on board, that gave them what they needed to go after those couple other foundations that gave money. Mm-hmm. So there's some real leverage that occurs with that, with grant writing. So I think it's a good idea. But I didn't want to preempt, and apparently maybe I did with you and Weber doing something.
Well, we've said every time the topics come up, we're supposed to get a report. We want a report.
I'll talk to him.
I have a board of health meeting with him today, so I
think he's probably working on it.
And part of it is she got hired away to a different job, so I'm curious if that she was working on the report to bring back to us with him, so I don't know what happened. And this is part of having a contract person who's...
Yeah.
How much did we spend versus how many were applied for? How many did we receive? Yeah. Did we actually...
The cost benefit.
Right. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
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 Yeah. I'm...
Gosh, you sounded just like Simon Hare for a minute. Cost benefit analysis and the efficacy.
I'm going to take that as a compliment.
We sent out...
Hey, somebody got to work that stuff out for the microphone.
We sent out the W-2s for last year. They were mailed on Tuesday. Some people received them yesterday, so just to let you know that part of the payroll is working.
I got mine yesterday, but I didn't look at it.
Don't.
We get paid for this?
You don't.
Not you.
Your salary is split between Dan and I. We get yours.
All I can say is that, you know, for what I paid in, I want my Oregon Trail card.
Oh, golly. Don't start.
And just as a final wrap-up, the budget...
You thought he was kidding?
The budget committee, I heard back from both Jim Brumbaugh and from Steve Welch, and they're both willing to agreed to serve again.
That's good news.
So your staff was way ahead of me, and they already had
applications
renewal applications out to those guys.
Nice job.
So good news on that front. So we'll have a... knowledgeable and seasoned budget committee back. At least everybody's.
Do we have to vote on their
reappointment?
I believe so. Yeah, okay. They will have a application.
One of them did a renewal. Our staff was emailing a second one yesterday, and I confirmed with Steve Welch that he did get back to you yesterday as well.
So
that's what he said. He said there's a learning curve involved. I mean, you only do this for this. Yeah. You know, and it's only 3 years, and it's a, you know, 1 month. It's kind of like you get someone invested, you want to get that experience.
Well, what I hear, go ahead.
Did I hear yesterday they can renew up to three terms?
Three times, yeah.
So 9 years total, that's it? Yeah. Okay, go.
Permission?
You know, yes.
Well, I'm just asking. The frustration I've had with budget committees, both at the city and at the county, is participation. As Steve and Jim both participate and asked questions last year. you know, everybody can do a presentation and everybody won't nod their head like this. We had a lot of that over in the city. People that sat there for five meetings and said nothing.
Yeah. Well, even Karen got some advice and questions in there. So.
Well, Karen's she's a numbers person.
Yeah.
And it was her first year, and her first term, unlike the others who have. Yeah.
Right, exactly. Yeah. Oh, well, we want participation. That's what they're there for.
Yeah, good folks. Good folks.
Yeah, I think we have a good, very good bench.
So that's what I have for today. I mean, I can go over other issues, but that's the main stuff.
Okay.
Thank you, Arthur.
Okay.
No further questions for this commissioner.
And I would just comment that I was going to bring up the grant writer thing at goal setting and say, hey, should we consider it full-time or not, instead of these segmented pieces?
Yeah. I don't buy the line from the department heads that say it's too much work to work with a grant writer. There is work involved, but the legwork that then turns around and they follow up and do it.
It should free them up a little.
Exactly. Yeah, right. And that we're not paying our department heads to just be grant writers.
Right.
And we shouldn't be giving increases to 20 staff across the county that they're all going to be individual grant writers, where we can have someone that's their specialty and that's what they're doing. But and the one at the fairgrounds, hers came out of necessity. And she's gotten better at it. But it literally, I mean, it's that little niche market that she's working at. Right. And
I know it's her passion, but you know what? At some age, you need to say, you know, I'm done.
She has to make that call.
And she has to make that call.
At some point.
Well, she would be probably happy to pass on some of that baton to somebody else if they're willing to be just as passionate.
Someone who could be long-term and consistent.
Yeah.
So there's a little bit of work up front, I agree. And maybe from a department head point of view, maybe it's more work than, but that's only for the initial grant or two. And then as they move on, the grant writer knows what the program's about. They know all the intricacies that need to be put on the grant app. So I don't see that as a continuing demand on a director's part.
Go ahead.
I think timing is right for fairgrounds. Yes. For fairgrounds to do that, strictly because we have Tamara coming on board. Let's see what Tamara's expectations are, and say, you know, because to her it's just, this is your grant writer, go forward.
She can use one. Sure.
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's probably. I think fairgrounds and airports are probably, and parks maybe. Mm-hmm. Are probably our three biggies for writing grants.
And public health.
Public health.
Public health could probably keep busy.
He's the one that utilized that grant writer for most of it. And then all of a sudden, some people were like, wait, what? You're available? Well, we announced it in a manager meeting. But, again, the pushback from the manager is saying, I don't want to have to work with somebody else. That's a concern. And because even with a grant writer, the department heads aren't off the hook. They have to partner with that person and be willing to work with.
Well, maybe the grant writer goes to, like, three different departments, and then you get Mike Weber stating to whoever, you know, man, I'm using that grant writer. I'm off the hook. I throw the idea out there. They follow through on it. Bingo, we get the money. You know, that type of a deal.
Yeah.
You know, just this.
I think it would grow.
Once you gain confidence.
Yeah. Get the right
person. Scott Mayfield over there, you know, as much as the little guy, every time I think, gosh, he just bothered me to no end just the way he talked, but he was successful.
Right.
He was successful at writing the grant.
Who's been writing the one for the sheriff, or the ones? Does he write his own or have somebody over there?
What grants?
Didn't that one just come down?
It probably falls on Ruth. But those have just been CJC ones. The Community Corrections writes grants. And the sheriff, the DA was a partner too, but they would have Ruth doing that. But again.
Yeah, I think those are ones that came to his attention. It wasn't somebody looking.
It was created
proactively.
By the state.
Okay. And handed.
Pretty much, yeah.
That's good, I guess, but we should be proactive, yeah.
Okay, thank you.
Great, thanks.
Next up is board business. There's an Ann Basker Auditorium rental for Valak. Valak, we have two, what do you call those? Long-term?
Deferred comp.
Deferred comp, thank you. Employees have optional deferred comp, where they can take a portion of their paycheck pre-tax and put it into a deferred compensation bank, which is basically a separate retirement account. that's not PERS. And there's two agencies that the county works with. VALIC is one of them. They have put an application in to use Ambassador. I don't really know why it's coming to us, because...
Did they want to waive the fee? Is that what it's for?
Any community organization can rent Ambassador. So are they just...
They wanted to do it after hours on one of the days, and I just wanted your approval versus me doing it.
Oh, okay.
Are we charging them a fee?
Yeah.
Okay.
It just needs your initials.
Okay. Anybody have any thoughts?
Yeah, I don't see any reason not to.
I mean, do we have a policy for that as far as after hours usage and stuff? Is it usually, I mean, because there's some groups that use it.
There's instructions on the application.
Okay.
Then are you the key master or someone like you?
All right, so we can move that forward. I mean, they do it every year and they service our employees, so I think we want to make sure that we make it available to them.
Why, if you clear a conflict of interest?
No, you don't. It's not to you individually.
Oh, okay.
If it's equal to all employees, then it's not a conflict for you.
Okay.
Because otherwise we couldn't decide on any insurance for the county or any pay issues for the county. So, okay. Then the next matter is matters from commissioners.
Yes, I have one. The Spokane trip is the same days as budget committee.
Oh.
So I would rather stay here than to go to Spokane and attend the exciting budget committee.
Except we set the dates for budget committee, so we could easily move budget committee around you.
Oh, I'm sure. I mean, if you're trying to move it around me, I don't think that's it's not.
No, but there's nothing said as budget meetings.
No,
Well, I saw an email. I saw an email, by the way.
Wow, good job.
Wait. Make the notes.
Yeah,
in the notes.
Let the record show.
Commissioner Dan
Jones
read an email.
Yes, he did. Read an email, and the first meeting was 15th, May 15th.
And can I? Yeah. So,
yes, please.
Arthur, okay, our business, whatever.
Whoever you are.
Budget officer. Is I got a request from Karen to move to Tuesday rather than Thursday. So because her Thursdays are tied up and kind of busy with her normal her real work. So I sent that out to Steve and to Jim, and I heard back from Jim that Tuesdays were fine for him. I'll have to check with, I'm not sure whether I got one back from Steve yet or not. So there's a potential that we might move to Tuesday rather than the Wednesday. So in May, I think, well, I didn't bring it with me, but if Thursday's the 15th, then we'll move it to the Tuesday, the 13th, as a potential. So it's not settled, but I'm inclined to accommodate.
I just want to bring it up.
Yeah. If that's all right, so I'll get that tied down and make sure that's going to work for the other budget committee members, but the public budget committee members.
Sounds good.
You guys will be here anyway. So.
Well, that's what I'm saying. If WIR is during that time, on my phone, I couldn't find the phone number for you. I was looking for it to find out who we should have talk to you, but I do think that natural resources stuff is important enough, but I know conferences are not a fun thing necessarily for you, though you shine. And that's not a hair statement.
No, it's not. I get them. And when you get...
Quit bringing up
when
Simon.
When you start picking your battles at my age, you'll understand, but you won't be there for another 30 years.
Yeah.
I'm only going to do things that I think rewards.
Yeah.
And I see no rewards coming out. I've made a decision over this last week on my windshield time that I had yesterday. I'm never going to Washington, D.C. because you know why? All that is Visitor Convention Bureau of Washington, D.C. begging everybody to come to the White House, $300 a night motel rooms. Oh, you get to talk to your representative. You should be able to talk to your representative in Oregon.
I do.
They should come here rather than us go see them. Well, I'm going to get to talk to so-and-so. Has anything ever come out of a trip to Washington? No.
I had something come out of a trip to Washington.
What's that?
The Frontier phone stuff that we were having trouble getting a meeting in conference here.
Uh-huh.
And they finally pulled it together with the government affairs vice president of the company.
Perfect.
That led to 911.
And that's you. But that
was Greg Walden. using his position
right.
as the energy and commerce person to pull that meeting together to help me, because it started within my office, him saying, is there anything I could do to help you? And I said, yes.
Well, I'm just going about my...
I know, I'm just letting you know that there was one thing that came out to our county.
And if I'm going to go to a city where those kids from Covington are getting beat up daily, I'm not going there. I'm not going to support their way of doing business in Washington, D.C. at all.
I hear you.
Not in any way, shape, or form. I'm not going to give them $300 a night. I'm not going to pay $100 for a
dinner. And this trip is in Spokane,
I'm not going to. I'm just talking about Washington, D.C.
Okay, but all this right. one is like-minded people with you. Mm-hmm. If you ever found a convention of like-minded people, WIR is that. And it's in Spokane, which I've met the commissioners. I've had opportunity to get to know some of the Washington commissioners from Eastern Washington, and they are salt of the earth folks and good folks. But I don't want it based on that. I want to find out what the value would be for you as our ONC rep to go, and if they need you to go, that, and it wasn't for me to decide for you. It's let me get you in touch because you're new in this role. And this is, you know, that was all my intent, is to get some people for you to
get the information.
But it's not D.C., and the feel of it is not D.C. It is Western U.S. people. When you have Wyoming chairing
the... rural. Yeah. As well, yeah.
Yeah. It's folks that are like-minded. And anyhow, that being said, I hear your heart on D.C. I still need to get you a phone number, so I will do that. If we have to move budget, we will. Otherwise, we won't. And you don't have to go.
It may move on its own. How was your trip to the coast yesterday, sir?
Wonderful.
Yeah?
We had a record meeting last night. It went forever.
It did? 4 minutes?
It's seven.
Seven minutes. Ooh.
We drug it out.
I couldn't have made that if I parked in the parking lot. No. Very good meeting. I was really impressed with the way they run things over there. They had standing room. They only have a little deal. It isn't probably this big. But it was standing room only at their weekly business session. A lot of input, a lot of participation from the people in Curry County. The presenters, spot on. They had really good information. They presented it well. Everybody had a PowerPoint. One thing that I did see that they had that I think we need to adopt is when you come into their chambers, there's a scrolling video of Curry County. Pictures from different places of Curry County, you know, different, you know, we probably have to put Jason on something like that. And it's on the thing and it just scrolls, you know, light music in the background. It's just a time killer, but while they're there, you could be putting things up on there of events coming up maybe and things that the county's interested in and different things from the valley. A good place for Illinois Valley to say this is what's going on in IB. And it was, I was pretty impressed with that because it just kept scrolling until somebody had a PowerPoint. Then it went to the PowerPoint and away they went. I had lunch with Julie yesterday. We had to break because the thing, I had my presentation in the morning and then there's one that I would like to see us entertain. And that's a guy named Steven, and I didn't get his last name. I've got it on my paperwork. But he's got a real interesting concept having to do with Lost Creek Dam in the original contract with the Corps of Engineers as far as fish count guarantees that hatchery would put out and that it would not ruin.
Do you hear how many millions of fish they're killing in the fish hatchery right now?
Just a minute. You don't hear from this guy. Don't hear from me. This guy's very, he's done his homework. He's worked for fish and wildlife. He's been a guide. He's all of the above. And he dug back through the original contract with the Corps of Engineers in 1972 states, you will, because we, you know, everybody said you're cutting off one-third of the spawning grounds of the salmon by putting in Lost Creek Dam. What are you going to do about that? That's what the hatchery was supposed to do, was supposed to make up for that. They figure every fish constitutes around, every fish in the river adds up to about $500 worth of revenue to the counties that are involved with the fishing industry. Every one. And since he's got the numbers, but I would like him to come and do a presentation. It takes about, I'm going to guess, 20 minutes. But it's really, really, I think if everybody, there's four counties involved, Curry, Jackson, Josephine, and I think there's a little piece in Douglas that's involved in that. It's four counties that the Rogue River goes through that would be involved in it, but it's pretty pretty compelling.
They've never made their counts, right? Is that what I heard?
They've never even come close. Yeah. That and number one, and I said something about because we took out Savage Rapids Dam, and I said, yeah, way to go. Well, he was involved in that because he's only for the fish. He doesn't care what's in the way of the fish. As long if it's in the way of the fish, it needs to go. So he lobbied really heavily to get rid of Savage Rapids Dam. I said, well, congratulations. Our power bill is $2,300 a day to pump water up into the canals, which we used to do by gravity. Not to say the recreational and the property values you devalue above that dam for summertime properties on a lake that is no longer a lake, it's now a creek. And he says, well, there is, he thinks that in that contract with Corps of Engineers, there is a hydroelectric element to that dam. And that the hydroelectric power being created by the dam should be diverted to any mitigation that they had downstream. Mm. Like there's a possibility that maybe GPID could say, you know what, we're going to sue you because we took out the dam and so on and so forth. When you do that, there's always something else going on. And I think he said that the power, some of the power that was devoted, was produced from Lost Creek could be, as it enters the grid, it could be a credit towards GPID's pumping costs. So I was going to get with Don Miller on that one also and put him in touch with this guy. But I think, didn't they call over yesterday, Wendy?
Yeah.
To get on the agenda? Yeah. And we have him on the agenda?
No, it's just an email.
Okay.
So right. On that topic, on January 11th, the Mail Tribune had a story on the Coal River's hatchery.
Yeah.
Where they're constantly pulling out the remains of Chinook salmon that are not surviving. They have lost more than 1 million infant Chinook so far.
Okay. Well, there is.
And so they're having issues with heat and everything else in that fish hatchery. That not only are they not producing what they're legally supposed to with a contract, there's something really bad going on up there.
And he has an answer for almost every one of those problems. He says, truck the fish from the hatchery down and dump them in at Grays Creek instead of dumping them in along the Rogue River.
Well, that's great.
To increase.
But why aren't we all, as Jackson County, Josephine County, Curry County, all saying, why are you guys killing
this
off
the
million?
This is the start of it. I just want you to hear this guy's presentation because he's the guy that can put this together. He's very well thought of in the thing. So, if with your permission, I think we should move forward to give him a presentation up before the board.
I'd be happy to. And with a presentation, though, is what steps can we take to make it better?
Right. This is where he started. Curry County, because they have the fish coming up the river from the ocean.
Yeah.
So there, that before.
Well, and I'll try to get this report to you guys as well because, as liaisons, we can't just be saying protect our trees. We have to, you know, this is another thing.
There's some covenants that that the Corps of Engineers entered into in order to put that dam in, and nobody drags that stuff out and reads it from time to time. That's been 50 years ago, 46 years ago, and it's high time we just quit forgetting about it and bring it back up.
And
say, this was your contract.
And they use the salmon as their justification for shutting down mining here as well.
Exactly.
And so it opens up a conversation.
A lot of conversations at once. So if we need a pond, the salmon may be the one. It may be the pond that opens that up for Southern Oregon. And there's more another thing, conversation after I gave my report, and then Stephen gave his report and said, you know what? We're a region. Mm-hmm. And we're a region that's been kicked around and stepped on for long enough. It's high time we all get together. And we start fighting back at the state level and the federal level to say, you know, you've got a whole different set of problems up in Multnomah County that you don't understand our problems, that if we collectively can get there, I think would be. But good presentation. I had very positive feedback from all of them. I finally met Susan Gold. I had never met Susan Gold before. But they ran a pretty tight ship over there. I was pleasantly surprised. I did go to lunch with Julie. And we were just going to walk down the street to a restaurant that it said was just 3 minutes away. So we started walking, and I'm not seeing a restaurant. And then she goes, oops, I mean, we're a long way from home. Oh my gosh, she says.
It was on the car.
I was in a car instead of walking.
Yeah.
So anyway, getting back, she was supposed to be back by 1:15. I'm sorry, we're still eating at 1:15. So it probably didn't look really good that, and they were, boy, they wanted me to go through a metal detector, make sure I didn't bring any guns and knives in there at Menville thing, because I was coming to get Julie. And I said, no, I just want to take her lunch. Well, then we're gone for...
yeah, longer than planned.
If they have to open the meeting back up and she's not there, you know, and she's got to, you tell court to close your office down. You're coming home.
I really sent an unattended signal.
I thought there would be value in seeing other counties and how they do stuff, especially before we blaze down any trail of looking at the forms of what we need. Because it's real easy for people to say, oh, this is what you got to do. Mm-hmm. But like we've heard over and over, there's 36 different ways they're doing it in Oregon.
Yep.
And just seeing how some of our other comparables in our region are doing things, we could actually adjust some things internally without, you know, big things and do, you know, but we just have to, sometimes you got to be exposed to what else is out there.
Well, I really liked their scrolling presentation because it gave them an opportunity to say, you know, this is going on in Brookings this weekend or next weekend, or we're working on this. And it's just something, while you're sitting there, you can read it.
So what it would take is probably 4 screens like you have in 130, blah, 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 or we can have TVs in here too, but ambassador's equipment in and of itself, I don't like the overhead projectors as we see them. Mm-hmm. I think they're difficult to see, but and the controls of them are all the way at the other end of the desk from where these guys sit, so it's not very technologically there. The microphones, I constantly am getting texts from people in TV land, can't hear you guys, your sound is off, you're not picking up, you know, this and that. And you guys, let me take that back. The city of Grants Pass had a process of bringing somebody down and upgrading their microphones, and I don't know that they're good mm-hmm. or bad now, but what I found in asking about our stuff, it's pricey. And so...
Are there any PEG funds available?
We need to
franchise
find out.
Fees?
Yeah, we need to find out what's going on with those and the why.
Can we get one microphone?
Well, and who does the city's TV stuff versus we brought ours back in-house and all this kind of stuff, and we're paying staff RBTVs to stay after hours and overtime and various mm-hmm. things. Either way, great thing to look at Ambassador on the list of what do we want it to be for the public's access to information. Yeah.
Well, and on your scrolling thing... Experience Grants Pass, John Bowen has been doing that rogue allure that he was going to put in hotel rooms that might be able to be utilized.
Sure.
Maybe not the only thing, but it might be a pre-made.
This was, it had pictures of Whales Head Cove. Of course, they've got a lot of scenery over there they can do that we don't have, but we have the room where there's some pretty fancy photography. It was just interesting because, you went into the room. It was kind of an icebreaker. You know, you get to sit there and watch what's going on in your county.
Yeah, that's pretty
cool. And I was pretty impressed by that. I thought, when we did, I think, a real good example of how not to do it was when we did our first reading of the ordinance on marijuana. We're handing a microphone back and forth, and the batteries all went dead at once, and it was in a great big cavernous room, a big cavernous room where all of a sudden a little amount of people there, you look out of place. We talked a little bit about that the other day when we had Tamara, and we talked kind of when John Bowen, and we were talking about the venue for the state of the county. Oh, let's move it over. And Tamara said, we move it to the pavilion. I said, absolutely not. You end up, you're just swallowed up. And we're never going to fill that auditorium, so let's not even try.
Well, the chairs were filled that day.
Huh?
The chairs were filled that day.
Yeah, but we're still, it was a postage stamp in the middle of a great big room.
But we are having
just
people...
Just a minute. Aesthetically, it didn't look good. And if we get over there, I thought the tables were a great deal at the... were a good idea at State of the County because people could make notes and they had someplace to put their hands. So they're not just sitting in a chair like they are over here. That worked out very well. We only used half of that floral building. We could move that barrier back another 4 rows, put in another 2 rows of tables, and we would have had it. It worked out very well.
We don't have equipment for remote stuff well. The fact that even our weekly business session in Cave Junction takes 2 people from IT to go out there and set up a cockeyed kind of convoluted.
Well, they're running cables all over the place, well, and we don't need to do
They're not even doing that well. Okay. They're trying to put together cell phones and let's have an audio here and we'll record it separate here. It's not their expertise, and it's not. I'd like us to come up with a plan because we say we're going to get out in the community and do remote, but we don't because we don't have the equipment to do it. And the marijuana ordinance was a good example of how our equipment's not there. We could have paid Rogue Valley TV to do it, and they have all the equipment, and they come and just take care of it. But then there's an expense of a couple hundred, like over $1,000. We don't want to spend $1,000. So when do we invest in equipment versus do we contract
with
somebody?
And when do we put out $500,000 to save $1,000?
Well,
and it's ours, and then it's outdated in 6 months.
Well, and that's what I'm saying is we should at some point talk about how do we do that.
I think we need to have a contract.
And what other groups do with those big rooms is they put up barriers and different things to make it more professional looking. Well, does the fairground invest in poles and drapes to section off things for the big old pavilion so it's not this white cavernous thing?
They can go on and on and on spending money. Spending money is real easy, but I would just say
I'm not asking to spend money.
Thing.
I'm saying that you make do with what you got, and for the time for as many people that showed up, we needed a room that could accommodate. And the sound was horrible. Right. Absolutely.
Sound was horrible. It didn't look professional. We, the batteries ran out of the microphones, and that's not good. So, anyway, that's my report. It was a good trip. So, I tried to set up with Rocky McVeigh as I was going through Brookings, but he was not available. So, he did call this morning. We had a good conversation. And I came home. But I did talk to Julie at lunch, and just idle conversation. She likes the regional approach. I think that Curry and Josephine are kind of both stepping out of our shell, so to speak. We're starting to be, people are starting to notice when, I think John over there, Chris over there, excuse me, he's a good addition to that board. So, and he said, he's, tell it there, he said, make sure to tell Commissioner Fowler, hi. Right? He's in your class at school,
he's
I think.
Yeah,
so I think that's going to be a good connection to make.
Yeah, he's a good addition, I imagine, like you said.
I think so, yeah.
Because he's a full participant in the county college. Yeah, he'll be a
leader. But, I think, like I said, I think there's some projects that Curry and Josephine can band together on and go from there. There was one thing that Julie and I talked about, but I've got to get some more information on it. Something that Curry did that I'm interested in doing maybe here. So, but I'll get later on that. I'm not holding out on anybody. I've just got something in the weeds that I need to follow through before I even talk about it. Okay.
I went up to Wolf Creek last week with Dennis Dixon from our mining committee. And looked at some Josephine County land up there that could be utilized as a tourist attraction. It's a bunch of tailings from mining that happened years ago, and there's lots of color left in it as far as gold goes. And says not enough for some mining company to come redo it all, but enough for a tourist to really have some fun. Mm-hmm. And we stopped by and talked to a couple neighbors, and they were for it. We stopped by the Wolf Creek Inn, talked to the new concessionaire there, and even talked about having one of our remote meetings there at the Wolf Creek Inn. And because of handicap, it'd probably have to be outdoors on the back patio, and he said he'd cook and could make a community event out of it up there, and it sounded pretty good.
Cause sounds like a summer event.
Yeah, that's what I told him, when it warms up a bit, but not all the way to August. We don't want it too warm, but what a beautiful community up there, just chock full of resources and trees. And there is a mining company that bought an old tailing strip right along Graves Creek, kind of, and he's going to be full mining it. He's getting all the permission and everything, which takes about a year and a big bucket of money to get permission, and some of the neighbors are pushing back, and it's like, well, you live in a mining community. Yeah.
There might be some Placer mining. Road, Daisy Mine Road, and Placer Road.
Yep.
Yeah, what's that noise?
What's that noise? Exactly. But looking forward to strengthening those connections that I made up there.
One of the interesting things, it was a statement I think Mike Bird made at one of the Mining Advisory Board meetings, was it was worth mining that gold when it was just pennies an ounce.
Yeah.
And they left a lot of it behind because it just took a little bit more effort. You know, they just used low-hanging fruit type thing. All those tailings still contain gold because it was in the same strike as they were working. But now, is it worth it now? Is it economically feasible to go remine that again at $1,280 an ounce or whatever it is at the going price? You know, does it make sense? But that's up to the mining.
It does to that one guy because he purchased it. Mm-hmm. And Dennis was explaining that they used about a 1-inch scree. And then they'd sluice all the rest of it. Mm-hmm. And so that anything over 1 inch is still sitting there.
Yeah.
And so there's quartz with gold in it and ore that can be re-mined. And so pretty good education for me on the value of that area to our community as a tourist spot, being right on I-5. And we went into the park there, which... Well, it has a little bit of a Sherwood Forest feeling. It needs to be logged, thinned out to be more like Indian Mary or any of our other parks that has more sunshine in there, and a little more open spaces. So look forward to talking to Sarah about that.
Work with Dave Streeter on that thing,
yes,
too.
Yes,
yep. Because it would be Josephine County that could put that out to log, mm-hmm. and he'd be able to give you some, he could probably scale that and tell you, cruise that, tell you what kind of money you're talking about, and that money would have to go to the parks.
That could go right back. Yeah, exactly. Go right.
But that may be that may be an element where it goes to that park or to the Wolf Creek area.
We've done some of that already.
Have
a few years back. Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, good times.
It would. When all these fun ideas come up, it's like, okay, how do we do it? What's mm-hmm. the steps? What do we need to do? How would, an RV park in there in that huge flat area and getting some stuff going, it's like, it's awesome.
Yeah.
Do we give it to parks and parks rents it out through their system as RVs? And how does mining partner with
it? Or lease it to someone?
Yeah.
What does that look like?
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. But good to look at. Any other...
Yes. Can we add just a little square of that up there to where city-county workshops, that we just, something pops up and that you want to talk to the city about, we just jot it on there.
Just throw it on there. That's a good idea.
Put it down in a corner or something. So in case something comes up to mind and you go, yep, I just want to add that to it and go from there.
Good idea.
So... on the city-county workshop on Monday, the agenda that I've heard so far is a long discussion about the Allen Creek Road. There's emergency management update, and there was another topic I'm not remembering.
On this last
the Dollar week, Mountain?
Or the one coming up?
Then next Monday.
Next Monday, okay.
Okay,
But Dollar Mountain's one for me.
Yes.
That we want to talk about the land Josephine County on.
So Saturday from 2 to 4 at Grants Pass High School is a community forum on Dollar Mountain and Beacon Hill. It's part of Blue Zone something or other, but there's an online survey you can do before then as well as far as what you think can be done there. What was your topic, Dan, that you want to say?
We passed that tree lighting program downtown, and Dave Reeves said, oh, we're going to go to these $5 lights, and we said, it can't cost a whole bunch because we already have the lights for Christmas. Oh, no, we got to go, and we think we threw $15,000 at it one time and $10,000 again to get these lights that were just going to last forever. Well, they're about half of them are burnt out, and they're not replacing them. So their downtown tree lighting program, which affects us all because it just looks like we're doing something halfway again. Tree lighting downtown, street conditions, street maintenance conditions. I don't know. I'd like an update on that, what their criteria is, because there was a letter to the editor, and that also is one of the things that affects our appearance. Mm-hmm. So what we, you know, what we look like if somebody travels along through Grants Pass and all the streets are patched and none of them are capped. It looks pretty shoddy.
They're in the midst of a street evaluation of every street. They contract it out. Someone comes along and videos it all and has an evaluation and then prioritizes.
Well, that's good. I want them to know that they are on our mind.
Right.
Type thing.
Can I sing a song?
You're always on my mind.
Sing anything you want. Let's get the mic over there.
Anything else you want?
Your dollar mountain, from what you guys said yesterday or Tuesday, was Beacon Drive. And also Allen Creek. Weren't all those three combined with...
Well, Allen Creek's on the agenda on Monday.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And Beacon's a non-starter.
Okay. At an executive session, I would like to make a proposal for Allen Creek, but it's a get concession stuff, so I don't think I put it up there.
Anything else you'd like on this list?
No.
Okay.
But now we're thinking about it, there probably will be this.
But, you know, I just, if we can get one of those pencils and hang it on a string or something so we can just add stuff to it, we'll work through staff.
I have four of these on my, they're magnet.
I'm not going in your office.
Well.
That's the girls' bathroom. I don't go in the girls' bathroom.
It's not magnet, so that's why I keep putting them back on my board, because my board's magnet. Yes, we can get pens in here.
And just
put a tray over there and put some pens in them.
Yep.
Super.
A matter of fact, if you give me a cardboard box, I'll tape it to the wall. I'll go roll redneck.
That's all I have. I don't have any other matters. Nothing matters to this commission.
I'm good.
Okay. I do have Board of Health today at noon, and then we have our meetings this afternoon. I'll try to get through some of those minutes beforehand so I can give it.
Nothing really easy. I read them. I can give you a brief overview of
them.
This afternoon? Okay, no, I think I won't turn out there. I'll call Sarah.
Okay.
Well, and let me remind you guys that Sarah asked for suggestions for who could write letters of support for the BLM land swap. And so if you have some time between now and the afternoon meeting and you could think of a couple organizations we don't want to miss to ask, I was thinking, you know, like Morrison Lodge, Hellgate Jet Boat. Galise is one I didn't have on there yet. But, we want to try and get as much support for that as we can from the private sector and from local
Chamber? Would the Chamber?
Yeah, Chamber's one of them.
Chamber would be a good one to put in on
that.
Scott's daughter?
Shoot.
She also emailed you this big package she wants you to review before, too.
Serious?
Of all the land properties.
The new, just updated, so you've already seen part of it, I think. But
sure. No, I'm just kidding. Okay,
it's not
so,
as big as you made it sound.
I did think of something, though, because we got a letter of a citizen saying they object strongly to us obtaining a new property for new parks until we actually bring our current parks up to maintenance and we fund the sheriff's
office. I didn't see a county one.
I saw a
city one.
We got a county one saying that.
In an email?
Yeah. Hmm. It goes to BCC. You should ask to have the BCC emails forwarded to you.
Can I ask to have them?
I don't know if you want to.
I do. Because you can respond in your computer to them versus wait for them to be printed out and...
Why, are there many? Is that why you're...
I have a constituent on the Sprague Seed Orchard that when it was in the paper the first time, Sprague Seed Orchard, and that, there's a pretty good-sized community out there that's absolutely against that because they don't want to park in their backyard. Parks bring bad things in their mind, and they're stuck on that. And I asked, I said, well, what are we going to do with Sprague Seed Orchard? And I was told at that time, I said, nothing. That our parks, I said, well, these people are afraid there's going to be a park out there in the next 60 days or the next 6 months or the next 6 years. And they don't want a park out there. And they'll just pack up and move out. They're done. But I said, and there, it's a pretty affluent neighborhood, but one of the things that I was told is that our parks are along, our parks all have a feature.
Always in other words, water.
White Horse Park is on the river. Griffin Park is on the river. Selmac.
They're all on the park.
All on
the river,
on a feature, yeah. And there was no interest in doing anything with Sprague Seed Orchard in the form of a park because there's no feature out there other than that little pond full of bluegill. And now the paper said the other day we can't wait to make a park out of it and have a place for mass gatherings. That's exactly what I told these people wasn't going to happen.
Sarah's quote was.
And all of a sudden now it's not. What's that?
That was what Sarah's quote was in the paper.
Exactly. Yeah. And I talked to Sarah on the last go around. And she said, she's the one that told me, all of our parks have a feature. There's no feature out there. It'd be nice to acquire the land as part of the deal with something to look at in the future. But right now, there is no plan for that thing. And then it comes out, so that's where your pushback is going to be. If it's just going to, if we're going to take that and it's going to set fallow, that's one thing. You know, we have it in our inventory, that's one thing. But if we're going in there now with, well, we're going to grant and make that thing a RV park 7 miles off the freeway and so on and so forth. I'm sorry, those folks are going to hit the absolute roof on that.
So before we talk about this whole topic, when we're going to talk about it this afternoon, I'd like to make sure that, I mean, because we have it noticed for this afternoon, we'll want to revisit and say all these things again, because, but don't let me forget to say this afternoon of where this started versus where are we at with it. Because I feel like it's two different places. And we might just want to have that discussion. And so
I don't mind acquiring the land in the land swamp, the Sprague Sea Orchard. But I don't want to throw out there that, oh, this is what we're going to do with it. Because when somebody makes that statement out there,
the next thing you know, it's happening.
When I tell somebody that, nope, we're going to get this thing as part of a land swap, you know, hey, don't be scared. I was told we have no problem with it because it doesn't have a feature. It's not on the Rogue River, not on Lake Selmac, down the middle of absolutely nowhere. What's the big deal? And now all of a sudden it's for mass gatherings like hour long or whatever. What they call that over it? They vision what happened at the expo happening out there, okay. And what happens at Pacifica happen out there. You saw what it was like when everybody out there in the Pro Bowl district did not want to have that thing out there again because of what it did to their community. And these folks are seeing the exact same thing happen. When you start mentioning mass gatherings, you're going to get a pushback that's just, and I don't think we want that pushback. I'd like to see us get Sprague and Pro Bowl.
Okay. We'll continue that conversation.
Not against the landfall. I just want the narrative to be right.
I hear you.
Well, let's fix it.
So, seeing no other topics for this morning, we can be adjourned at 10:28.
Thanks.
All right.